Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Welcome back to another episode of Dangerous World, everybody. I'm going to keep this intro short and sweet because I got a lovely five-star review from a Swedish lady. I think it's a lady. It goes by Princess Jellyfish, so I don't mean to misgender here. But I appreciate the five-star review saying five stars for the topics and interviews, but too much talk in the intro before the podcast actually starts. I can agree with that, and I accept what you're saying here. You've been heard. I bet you didn't mind me talking about your review there, though, up front. Hopefully not. I really appreciate the feedback. You have been heard. Now, with that being said, last time me and these two gentlemen got together, you guys loved the conversation. I'm talking, of course, about James Grundman of the band Nephrectomy. Really, really nice dude, fun cat to talk with. And then also his buddy who he introduced me to, Phil Fairbanks, who is a very talented researcher and author. He's got an awesome website called philfairbanks.com. It's P-H-I-L Fairbanks, exactly like the city in Alaska, I think he said. Now, I recommend you check this site out, support his work. He's got some incredible articles on here, MK Ultra Archives, some wild, wild stuff that this dude, Sex Crimes Against Children, up 300% with Apple's link. Yeah, really, really good stuff here. James Webb and the institutional infrastructure that led to MK Ultra. A lot of MK Ultra focused stuff. And just really is doing some cool stuff. He actually has an article here, too. The Moonies, the CIA, and the Shinzo Abe assassination. So pretty cool stuff. I appreciate the chance to talk with somebody like this. He's got a few books. Pedalgate Primer was the one that we spoke about last time. And in this one, towards the end, probably in the Patreon portion, actually, he talks about more of the Kai the Hitchhiker case, which is a very tragic situation. So we had a lot of fun here, and I can't move on without telling you all to check out James Grundman's work, nephrectomyslam.bandcamp.com. You can check out all of their albums there. They've got some merch. They've got some cool stuff. Cool artwork, probably not for my more Christian listeners. I will say that right up front here, but awesome work, and a talented musician he is. So check out these guys' work and continue leaving those five-star reviews and talking shit because I appreciate it a lot, okay? I'm going to read a couple other reviews in the next episode because some ladies are sticking up for me more often than the cuck dudes are. So once again, women showing that they're stronger than the bitch-ass men in this community. So with that being said, enjoy this conversation between me and two awesome dudes. We had a fun one here. The Patreon will have about 45 minutes of additional shit for you guys. So thanks so much for the support. See you on the other side here. All right. What's up, everybody? We've got another fun little chat with these two awesome dudes who I talked with a little while ago, and you all seem to like it a little bit. So wanted to run it back and have some more fun. James, what's going on with you, dude? You're pulling double duty. So I wanted to hit you first.
Awesome. Yeah. What's up? Just closing up at the head shop, fucking busting out some podcasts. Nothing much. My band, I do vocals in a band, Nephrectomy. We're going to be playing LA Extermination Fest, September 23rd and 24th. I think we play the 24th. And then we're going to be announcing a big tour in November. Other than that, got a podcast in the works. I'm going to be doing at least partially with my fellow co-host, Phil here. Going to be calling it MK Elvis, just basically, you know, discussing all the different CIA psyops and culture creation and, you know, all the different pedo operations across the land. But
there's none of those.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, if we ever want.
No, that sounds like an awesome idea. I know you've been thinking about that for a little bit, man, and I'm excited. And congratulations on the tour with Nephrectomy. I'm hoping that you get a lot of good shit going on there, man. That's awesome. And then he introduced me to Phil here, who last time we all talked, man, it was a really, really versatile conversation, I guess would be a way to say it, right? I mean, we were all over the place. And we had a truly one of my very favorite talks of all time on this. Nice. You are an author and you have some really interesting work that you've put out there. And I mean, just plug your stuff, man. I'm real honored that you were willing to pop on the show again, dude.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, so far, I'm the author of Pedogate Primer, The Politics of Pedophilia, which covers, you know, institutional pedophilia and trafficking and internet grooming and stuff like the Finders Cult and Mark Dutroux and JonBenet Ramsey, a lot of subjects like that. I'll be honest, if you are interested in that book, like, don't do what I did, like, take breaks because it is not an easy subject at all. And I nearly ruined my health. I'm not even going to lie. Like, you know, I was having chest pains and insomnia and night terrors from just months and months of spending all day and night on this. So don't do that. You know, make sure, you know, be balanced, get exercise, take breaks, watch comedies or whatever makes you happy. Don't spend all your time on this stuff because it can be demoralizing and depressing. And that's, you know, just counterproductive. If you want to make a change in the world, you can't be depressed and demoralized, you know, you got to keep the hope. Like, and, you know, not to go too off the topic here, but, you know, I'm a firm believer that as long as you have hope, guess what? By the very definition, you are not hopeless. Now, once you give up hope, you are hopeless, but only for the moment. You can always get your hope back. So even when you're hopeless, you're not truly hopeless. So anybody listening, I hope, you know, if you needed to hear that, like, that's, you know, genuinely my belief. I've been through the ringer myself, and here I am on the other side. But yeah, at the moment, I'm currently working with a few people's lives after a guy, you know, ran a car into a dude, was throttling a woman's neck. And, you know, he just ran out there. You know, he's got a hatchet on him, took the flat end of the hatchet, and wraps him on the head three times. Now, sadly, after that, he ends up, you know, picked up by a wealthy, well-connected lawyer in New Jersey, and he's raped. And it's you know, it's just, it's such an awful story. I mean, like, that's bad enough. But this guy who, you know, is connected to everybody in the court, whether it's the public defender or the judge or the, you know, they're all tied together, the prosecutor. And, you know, so there was no way he could get a fair trial. You know, in fact, when I first covered this story in 2017, I was thinking, this reminds me of the Cleveland Street scandal. Mm. Because when Oscar Wilde went to trial, like, he couldn't get a fair trial either because everyone in the courtroom was involved in the Cleveland Street scandal, which may have involved Prince Albert as well. And they were trafficking young boys, that messenger boys, you know, sending telegrams, you know, I mean, they had to have some excuse for little boys to be going to rich men's houses, right? Oh, no, I'm a telegram boy, right? Mm-hmm. So that story, by the way, didn't come out for 80 years. But when it did, like, it turns out that, like, Hamilton Cuff, the judge, and the guy who's representing Wilde and the prosecutor, and they're all in the, like, the 1890s Epstein Black Book, right? You know, so, you know, that and the fact that I think there's enough evidence to at least suggest the fact that the reason why Oscar Wilde didn't get in trouble as a poor Irishman who was in a homosexual relationship with the son of an English nobility, you know, like you can do that the other way around. English nobility can have sex with all the stable boys they want.
Sure.
But when the stable boy, when the Irish, you know, poor kid who, because he's witty, is invited to court, when he starts flirting with that guy who maybe has had sex with lots of stable boys, that's when it's a problem. So, you know, that proved a problem. The reason why I think it didn't get reported for so long is because of the fact that I think he had some dirt on people. And there was apparently a break-in at his house right before he's arrested. So I think whatever leverage he had, you know, documents or whatever, I think they stole it, got rid of it. And they're like, okay, now let's send him to America. Well, he knows too much. Right. And, but I was thinking about that. And now, like in the past few months, I've been covering this story 5 years and I was looking at just the Kai case. I zoom out and all of a sudden I'm seeing, you know, oh, wait, the main prosecutor's first assistant prosecutor, had another Union County prosecutor who's working on the waterfront commission, intervene multiple times for his Genovese family affiliated father. Even during a RICO investigation, this guy was like, no, listen, I know he's supposed to do the interrogation, but I'm going to do this. Like, wow. This is how it went, you know? This is how things go in Union County. And then on top of that, then I find out, oh, there's also 30-plus years of lawyer predators. We're talking about an assemblyman, a state assemblyman, Neil M. Cohen. He was distributing child pornography from his office. He was downloading it on a computer paid for by state taxes. Now, of course, you know, as apparently is usually the case in New Jersey, he got a 6-month suspension and he was sentenced to therapy. Yeah.
So we're of course talking about the Kai case right now, right?
Yeah. And that's like, the whole, like I said, Kai's case, I've learned, is just a symptom of a much bigger disease that's Absolutely. Going on in New Jersey. And a lot of it's centered in Union County.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you brought it up right away, what we were talking about before, right? The Cleveland Street scandal and all this mm-hmm. stuff. This is what we talked about last time when the three of us got together. And it's very, very interesting that a lot of this stuff seems to be focused on underage sex, some sort of trafficking in one way or another. And it's, you know, something I've been looking into a lot lately personally is black magic and the undertones of trafficking and all of the wild stuff that happens in this Pizzagate stuff, all the stuff that we talk about. Do you, Philip and James, I'd be interested to hear what both of you guys think about the idea that black magic is actually kind of a culprit to the trafficking and the control that these handlers have over the victims.
So it's really funny that that's the way place that you took it, because that's what exactly popped in my head right as you brought that up, was I think that there's a spiritual level to all of this. You know, like, I don't think that these are ordinary people. Ordinary people don't like hurting something so innocent like that. It's such a creation of negativity and evil, you know, that there's just an inhuman element to it. And have you ever listened to like Jerry Marzinski? He was like a psychotherapist, actually from Arizona, but he did like 40 years of work, 18 of them in treating the criminally insane in prison. But basically, he started asking them, you know, he's like, we never asked these schizophrenics, you know, like what the voices say, or and he noticed a pattern between all of them. And basically, all of the schizophrenic voices did the same thing. So it led him to believe that it's not some hallucination like we think, that they're interacting with these very real negative entities. And I won't just go into telling his whole thing, but I'm honestly to the point where I believe that our world is far more spiritual than we've been led to believe. And that's part of why we're forced into this atheist paradigm so much. And fed all this scientism bullshit is because it makes us completely ignorant to it. Meanwhile, we have all these entities that are around us all the time, subjecting us to all this negativity and suffering and feeding off of our negativity. You know, sorry to go crazy right off the bat, but
no, I mean, that's exactly that's the kind of stuff that I was looking into, man. I mean, I don't think that you're saying anything crazy at all right there. It's just maybe something that a lot of people don't think about.
Right. The situation with Satanism and its connection to like ritual abuse and mind control, there's definitely ties. But I think you have to be very, very careful because of the Satanic Panic, which, by the way, I believe was partially a psyop. And if you read Dr. Ross Chite's book, you'll see how damaging it was. Real cases of real child abuse were ignored because, and in some cases, I think it was well-meaning folks. In other cases, I think there were COINTELPRO ops, you know. Sure. I'm kind of torn on Ted Gunderson lately because I just don't know. You know, I want to believe that he believed and that he wasn't still doing COINTELPRO. But on the other hand, I have to admit that some of the stuff and like, you know, I think, okay, I was reading Daniel K. Buntovnik, who I highly, highly recommend, Anatomy of a Crypto-Fascist Sect, about the Satanic Temple, right? You know, they're connected to the Process Church and all this kind of stuff. They're connected to the False Memory Syndrome Foundation. When I interviewed Dr. Loftus, we stayed corresponding for a while. She hasn't Googled me, I guess. I mean, because if so, she wouldn't talk to me, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe she's COINTELPRO, dude.
Right, yeah, triple agent stuff, who knows. But yeah, she sent me something from Gray Faction, which is a side project of the Satanic Temple that's involved in the false memory syndrome, you know, pushing false memory syndrome stuff. And but there's definitely a tie between all this. Buntovnik points out that, like, and I think he makes a really good point here, sometimes it's just the trappings of Satanism. Like, for instance, in MK Ultra, we know they were studying trance and possession states. They were studying, you know, religious experiences. They were studying, you know, witchcraft and voodoo. They were studying these things. I think part of it was because there is real psychological technology in a lot of what we call magic. And part of that, you know, we were talking about science, you know, science is incomplete. I'm not a reductive materialist. I believe in science. I believe in God. I think that God created the rules. And so he doesn't have to break, you know, he knows all the loopholes. You know what I'm saying? It's sure. Like, no, that can happen. See, page 3,700. Yeah. See, that's a rule. When this and this and this collide, then this happens and it looks like a miracle. It is a miracle because God did it, but I don't think he breaks his own laws of physics. He doesn't need to. He wrote the laws of physics, right? But yeah, the thing about, like, when it comes to Satanism, I think some of the satanic trappings are in part a red herring. Some of the people who are Satanists don't look like Satanists or act like Satanists. Sure. And some of the people dressed up in black robes and doing these things, it's part of a sort of a red herring operation. And they want people to go nuts on that and focus on that and, you know, basically do some satanic panic stuff and so that they can sound ridiculous. Okay, like... Yeah.
Like Aquino, like his TV appearances, like, it gave a total... Like, it's like, I'm just going to go out there and be the weirdest fruity dork. And people will oh, he couldn't be doing satanic rituals and sacrificing children. He's a dork. And it's like, well, yeah, that's what he did on television, you know? Like, I don't know. Jimmy Savile. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
Same thing. I mean, the guy's goofy as hell doing some dark stuff behind the scenes, right? There is something really, really important about that because he was the Temple of Set, right? Aquino was. Now, you were mentioning
military psyops as well. Yeah.
Yeah, had a military psyops and connected with Tavistock, I'm sure. You mentioned a different one. It wasn't the Church of Satan, Philip. It was something different.
Oh, the Satanic Temple. That Lucian Graves, born Douglas Misiko. Yeah. And
who's a white supremacist.
Out, right, right.
Yeah.
He's all these very much riding up his anti-gay, like using the R word, eugenicist, flirting with fascism very much because, come on, I mean, like, the traditional Satanism of the 20th century and on is very fascist.
Yes.
Okay? It's about, you know, like, look at Aleister Crowley, the whole, you know, man has, you know, the right to do as he will, to kill as he will, and to, like, dude, so you're saying that because you're you and you're better than everybody else, you can kill and rape with impunity just because you decided to, by the might of your will. That's literal will to power. That is, you know,
that's magic. That's
absolute fascism. And yes, yeah, like basically the idea of wanting to exert control on reality using your will, like, is kind of a selfish act. I think it's possible that, like, you know, there are people who believe in white magic or whatever and are trying to heal and help the world. But if you are just trying to enrich yourself, then, it's selfishness. And fascism is a lot about selfishness and, you know, might makes right. And that's why, you know, speaking of might makes right, Ragnar Redbeard wrote a very racist diatribe back in, like, the late 1800s or early 1900s. That Anton LaVey found very interesting. It says terrible things about black people and women, of course, because it's a early fascist text.
Sure.
And they still list that as one of their foundational documents. Then there's, like, the fact that the Satanic Temple really started, like, the three guys, Kevin Sollings and Masicco, and who's the other guy? Anyways, they were all starting, like, they got together and it started out like, hey, let's rewrite Might Makes Right. It's like, oh, so you want to update the anti-black people and women book for the 21st century. Yeah, sounds good, Mr. Future Progressive. Dude, he is the Westboro Baptist Church. He is L. Ron Hubbard. Like, all this, I'm going to save abortion.
That no, church you're not. That church you mentioned, that's the God Hates Fags church, right? That's like
Yeah. And just like them, It's mainly about donations. It's mainly about donations. Like, if you cause a big scene, people will donate because you get press, and there's always wild people ready for the worst idea in the world, sure. Right? Sure. But yeah, like, all these people who, like, genuinely believe that the Satanic Panic is going to save abortion, and they're giving them tons of money right now. And it's like, you guys realize they have never, ever won a case in court. Like, all their litigation fails. The one time they settled out of court with Netflix, but that was because it was their intellectual property. They wanted to win that case. But all those, oh, we do legal activism. No, you don't. You file a case and let it molder. That way you can be, we had a case here and we had a case here and we had a case. Yeah, and you lost them all. You always lose them all. Their lawyer recently, can't forget his name. He was censured for like $17,000, you know, for it was an ethical issue or something along those lines. But yeah,
who is this Phil that settled out of court? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Matt has hold on. Hezekiah. Matthew.
Like, the group I'm saying that you know,
the Satanic Temple. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't recognize that, but I definitely recognize Lucian Greaves. I recognize him big. He's a guy with a lazy eye or some kind of damage to his eye
and
of some sort.
But he might be related to a Ukrainian Nazi who was the oldest living Nazi war criminal who was sent to the U.S. in 1953. Like, I found the documents where, you know, it's got his name, Kharkov or whatever. Karkol or whatever it is, and the maiden name of his wife, Mycecko, Mycecko.
Wow! So is that Mycecko. Like great white brotherhood type stuff?
You know, he was actually OUN, the Ukrainian Nazis that were doing the purging and the pogroms in Galicia in the Ukraine, and. By the way, that's the same guys right now that we're giving $50 billion to.
The Azov.
Like, everybody knows. Yeah, Azov is just one of them. There are, like, multiple neo-Nazi. Actually, neo-Nazi is not the right word. Because if your battalion started in the 40s and marched alongside Hitler's troops, I don't think you're a neo-Nazi. I think you're an original Nazi.
You're a good old-fashioned Nazi.
Nazis never ended, right? You know? Like, wow. And by the way, you know, once again, not to go too off topic here, but does anybody else find it ironic? Like, do you know how many people lost their jobs for playing the Made You Look game? Think about it, right? Remember, for years, anyone who didn't read BuzzFeed and ever did this in a picture at their job and was white got fired. Like, there were news stories and news stories and news stories. And guess what? Not everybody keeps up with the latest from BuzzFeed. I'm sorry, Daily Beast. Not everybody cares about your latest scare story. Some people are just normal people who play the Made You Look game or use a symbol that's been used for hundreds of years, you know, that's incredibly common. It's in cartoons and everything. And they fired these people. Oh, look, he's an obvious white supremacist because he did this. And meanwhile, let's spend $50 billion of our tax dollars. Well, I mean, like, yeah, he's got a Sonnenrad patch and a swastika on his forehead, but he's not like a Nazi, you know? Wow. I mean, like, yeah, he's got Nazi emblems tattooed on his face, neck, and chest, but like, he's not a real, come on, man. The double standard is just, you know.
Well, it's because, I mean, people are willing to give their tax dollars over there because their guy, Biden, which, you know, if Biden's your guy, that's very unfortunate. But if Biden is saying that this is the move, let's give them money, then people that hated Donald Trump, which, you know, I get it. I get that whole thing. But it's the division of the right versus left, right? I think that we touched on this last time we spoke, mm-hmm. where it's like, you know, you push the right all the way to the right. You push the left all the way to the left. Eventually, they're going to switch sides. And the left has gone so far to the left that now they're on the right. And then the right's doing the same thing. You were mentioning a lot there, and I hope that I touch on all the aspects. There was the idea of like the anti-fascism, right? Have you seen the witches that are against anti-fascism? It's called WAFT, Witches Against Fascist Totalitarianism. This was something I was looking into with the black magic stuff.
Were they the ones that I remember hearing a story about some witches doing curses or hexes against Trump years back? Is that the same?
there's some very wealthy witches based out of Los Angeles.
Of course they're wealthy and based in Los Angeles. Wow. Yeah. I take them very seriously now. A second ago I didn't, but now I know they're wealthy white women. They're all white. They are all white. I guarantee you.
They are. When
they're wealthy white liberals who, by the way, many of them have illegal immigrants who they underpay because they can underpay them because they're illegal immigrants. You know, sure. Like I love those white women. Those are the best. Those white liberals. Oh my God.
I love kids, when, you know? It's, it's this contest to how woke you can be. You know, we had a story here out of Portland, I believe it was, where, this lesbian bar got shut down because it wasn't woke enough. And it's like, dude, you are taking jobs from your own community because they're not following your fascist rules nearly enough, right? It's mind-blowing to see this. It's a 360-degree firing squad, and this happens when, you know, people are you know, headhunting and trying to be the good guy so much that, you know, again, you end up going so far, you'd be the bad guy. Now, I wanted to get into some of your stuff here. You know, you're talking about all kinds of different things that all tie together. Where do you want to kind of focus, like kind of what we're going to be getting into here today?
You know, like I said, I mentioned a few topics, whatever seems most interesting, honestly. Yeah. Whatever we get to. And like I said, you know, I like that this convo, like the last one, has been kind of, you know, very ADD. I think my favorite my favorite shows are the ones where like everybody goes off on lots of tangents.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's just fun to see where it leads. So yeah, no. Whatever sounded like of interest from what I mentioned.
Okay. Like to, because when, you know, when someone puts together a lot of research, I feel like I assume, and maybe wrongfully so, that they want to talk about that specifically. But I mean, I'll stick with one thing that you brought up again, the fascist stuff. There's been a big push for a lot of this real subliminally. I don't know if you've seen the connections between the Bored Ape Yacht Club and the neo-Nazis. Have you
yes,
seen this?
Yes. Kaliak and Milady and Romelia Corporation and the white supremacist esoteric Hitlerist cult that was misogynist and had a Discord channel where they were trying to get underage girls to starve themselves and mutilate themselves. And by the way, it turned out to be run by an Indian kid whose parents are friends with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, fuck, dude. No shit. I mean, how does this all lead back to pedophilia and the Clintons?
Mm-hmm. By the way, Bored Ape Yacht Club. You ever notice that monkey's face? Like, put it next to the SS Waffen logo.
Yeah.
And then put that next to the Skull and Bones logo. Hey, yeah. I'm beginning to notice a weird pattern here.
I saw something.
Like, even right down to apparently the number of the teeth, and there's other, like, 18, it's not. Baby. It is not. That and the fact that the guy that did it, apparently, like, did a lot of research on this stuff and wrote about the Kali Yuga. And, dude, it could be a coincidence if he came up with all that stuff in a fugue state right after having a coma where he forgot his whole previous life. Then it's a coincidence. But if that's not when he came up with it, then that stuff is very obviously, like, And I'm not going to come out and say this guy's a Nazi, like, because this is the thing. I came from, like, 4chan in 2007, like, back when the ironic Nazis and racists were genuinely being ironic, you know? It was like, ha, 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 I'm saying a ridiculous or outrageous or terrible thing. And, like, it was like a joke. But then, like, around 2010, the site started to slide. And then I noticed by 2011 and 2012, it was overrun by feds. And then, hey, look, all of a sudden, everybody's talking about Pol. Wait, are you telling me the Nazis took over right after the feds? Well, isn't that convenient? You know? Wow. But yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know enough about the guy that did the Bored Ape Yacht Club. But yes, apparently he knows about Kali Yuga and knows and studied, like, the Third Reich art. So he knows what he's doing. Whether it was meant as a troll or, you know, genuinely, like, you know, there's an artist, Charles Kraft, who did a Hitler teapot and then was later outed as a white nationalist. And a lot of people, oh, look, it's obvious that he was. But, dude, if you look at the Hitler teapot, it's ridiculous. He's got, like, he's a teapot and the cap looks like a yarmulke and he's got the scary. It's obviously not like, boy, I like Hitler. I want to make him look good. It looks ridiculous. He looks evil. And to top it off, it looks like he's wearing a yarmulke. Just like he had a weird sense of black humor. But so, yeah, I don't know. Like, it could be some weird art thing. It could be some inside joke. Or it could be a Nazi dog whistle. That much I haven't figured out yet. But, oh, absolutely. Somebody got a kick out of, like, encoding, you know, a lot of this, like, literal Nazi stuff into NFTs. And which, by the way, I find hilarious because David Lynch and Jimmy Kim, like, who doesn't do NFTs now? Like, all the people who, it makes me sad. Like, and by the way, that's another story I'd like to get into eventually, because I started looking, and you know why? It's because OpenSea and CCA and all the big media firms, they invest in NFTs already. So they need the stars to you know, prime the pump and dump.
There was money being thrown around on those. You know, it would be one thing if it was just, you know, some dumb thing that didn't take off. But there, I mean, some of these things are going for millions of dollars, right? Steph Curry has one.
Money
all
laundering.
Kinds of, what's that, James?
It's money laundering, you know.
Oh, yeah.
just like all art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only easier now because you don't need to create a piece of art or even have it exchange hands. It's like, it's beautiful. Like,
yeah, it's just very interesting to me that they were using a lot of black influencers, right? They were using a lot of, like I said, Steph Curry, all kinds of hip hop artists and all kinds of different, you know, like I said, black individuals out there talking about these monkeys, right? Which is definitely.
And if
a
that
very...
was done on purpose, if it was done on purpose, making SS monkeys, like, and then they're like, ha ha ha, let's get black people to promote these. Like, that is a, like, that's not trolling. That's just a really sick joke. That's, you know, that, like, hey, I like sick jokes. I have a dark sense of humor, but that's not funny. No.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that, like, the elite have, like, degraded Black culture, you know, through their culture creation, you know, like gangster rap or Chicago drill or, you know,
absolutely.
You never see like a Black actor or Black billionaire. And I don't know. I feel like this happens a lot. Like they're put in the limelight to, I don't know, kind of degrade Black culture, I feel.
Well, yeah, I hate regarding, to be... Go ahead, Phil.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Regarding rap, just one quick thing I want to point out. Something that I want to eventually look into. Okay, so in 1979, Sugar Hill Delight comes out from the Sugar Hill Gang on Sugar Hill Records, right? They get more and more popular. Then by the 80s, you know, they get so big that I can't remember if it's Sony or Warner. It's like, hey, why don't you sign a distribution deal with us? And they're like, yeah, we're selling so many albums, we can't distribute them ourselves anymore. You're right. That's a great idea. Well, guess what? It turned out they didn't read the fine print, and it wasn't a distribution. It was a distribution contract. It was, you have just distributed your property to me. I own your intellectual property. And then Sugar Hill Records was no more. Guess what happened the next year? Yo MTV Raps. Now, in the early 80s, I've got some old hip-hop albums. I love Fearless Four, Problems with the World Today. I should have went to night school, maybe learned computers, wouldn't be having the problems that I am today. Like, hey, that's a really positive message. I like that positive message. And then the powers that be, uh-oh, the Black people are having positive messages. They're telling the kids to go to school and not do drugs. I know what we'll do. Let's steal Sugar Hill Records, create Yo MTV Raps, and call it gangster rap. We'll convince them that misogyny and drug dealing is the only way to be cool. We'll make it so popular that suburban white kids will end up selling drugs. And so it happened. Like, literally, when I was in high school in the 90s, like, so many white kids ended up in, like, really bad situations because they wanted to live that, they wanted to be about that life. Like, it seemed cool, you know? Like, I want to be that drug dealer guy, you know? I want to be that pimp slapping a hoe. Dude, no, really, you don't. Like, dude, that's no kind of life.
My favorite was, like, all the white kids. Like, I graduated in 2009, and I'm white. I'm 25% Mexican, but all the white kids running around going, G-G-G-G unit, when they're fucking running around with all these kids. Dude, that is the worst type of cultural appropriation. It was so cringy. It was so stupid, dude. And
oh,
like,
gosh.
You know, not even the Black kids or the Mexicans were doing that shit. It was all the white kids, man. And you know, Eminem was a huge proponent of that. We were talking about,
you know,
Will Smith was a huge one that really propped hip hop up with his clean music.
You
know, and then this was something that people were allowed to listen to that were, you know, kids when that was coming out.
Yeah.
On the note of Eminem, and maybe I'm just imagining this, but didn't he get knighted? Am I not remembering that? I feel like I have a memory of that as a kid.
Knighted where? And by the
like
crown?
by the queen? Yeah.
Let me
or some sort I'll of ridge. Look, like that popped in my
Eminem
head.
Eminem.
Any? Oh, did he?
Oh no! Wait. The Detroit rapper would have to. 2018 claims UK album chart record in Kamikaze Strike. Alas, the Detroit rapper would have to receive a knighthood and become one of England's the second subject to get the honorific sir. So I guess no. This is from. As far as I can see, no. But yeah, no. I mean, like, it sounds like something that could or would or may absolutely happen. Like, they're gonna wait until Elizabeth dies and then they'll knight him.
I bet before July 5th he was knighted, and that's just one of the things that they took out just to make me sound stupid, you know.
There's some interesting ones that I'm seeing. I'm not seeing Eminem. A lot of English musicians, obviously, all of the Beatles, you know, but I'm not seeing Eminem. That would be funny though.
I mean, but yeah, anyone that the Queen, the Crown is associated with at this point, I just automatically assume like it was put out there to darken our souls somehow, you know?
Sure. With Tavistock, dude. I mean, that's where all that stuff comes from. All this mind control, all this culture creation, all that stuff is straight out of Tavistock, man. And Tavistock was tied in with British secret.
Oh yeah, the Royal Society and MK Ultra. And the Royal Society connections to the Bloomsbury Group and the Fabian Society, who were the original fake socialists, right? Yeah. George Bernard Shaw and all these, like, you know, like any British writer that you like or hate between 1880 and 1920, chances are they were a Fabian. And if not, they at least had a few Fabian friends. But like their whole thing was that their literal logo was a wolf with a sheep's skin on its back, right?
Oh my God.
Like, talking about the quiet part out loud, right? But yeah, no, the Fabian Society, the Royal Society, Tavistock. Tavistock is, to me, just the British SRI, the Stanford Research Institute. Like, okay. It's a lot of the same kind of research, both tied to MK Ultra. And I don't yet have the background on the Tavistock MK related stuff. I've been on a spree of requesting, like, you know, archival materials from all kinds of special collections. And I've got a few hundred pages of William S. Burroughs stuff that I still have to get through. I've got a bunch of MK Ultra files, some stuff related to cults and things. And some of this stuff is on the way, and some of it's here, and some won't be here until sometime in September. But, like, meanwhile, I keep requesting because, like, sometimes the process takes a little while. Sure. But, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to get a chance to dig through some of all this stuff, because a lot of this stuff has probably never been seen by, you know, 99% of people. Because, you know, unless you're a very interested historian, people don't request files from these archives, you know? Like, there's so much information out there. So yeah, hopefully that's something I'd like to do over the years for sure, though, is, like, fill out some more of the MK Ultra picture, because there's only so much out there. But there's a lot more. There's only so much out there in books, magazines, newspapers, and, you know, FOIA.
Internet.
And online.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more out there that's, you know, in this museum or this archive or this university special collection, you know, correspondence between these folks, and, like, you know, I've seen all kinds of interesting stuff.
You need to become a cardinal with the Vatican, and then you'll find all that information out. They got all that shit down there. You know, I think Orwell was also a Fabian socialist, if I'm not mistaken. George Orwell.
I think so. Yeah.
And so for those that don't know, the Fabian socialists are basically, they believe in the idea of promoting socialism through real sneaky methods. They don't want to take anything over by force. They want to enact policy that sounds good. Just think about the UN. Think about how they have the 17-point plan where they want no poverty. They want to focus on green energy. There's 17 different points of this. They're a Fabian organization to be kind to what they really are. I think they're deeper than that. Now, you were mentioning a little bit ago too, you know, the idea of I forget what exactly we were talking about, but you mentioned, like, God doesn't need to break the rules and like all this stuff you know, miracles can happen, but these are all done through whatever created us. Had you looked into the CIA and the Department of Defense's document on the Gateway process? It's called, like, Analysis and Assessment of the Gateway Process, and it's basically supposedly a DOD document saying that we are in a simulation and people can access this hologram. You haven't heard of this?
Oh my gosh, is this I've heard of it, but apparently didn't look into it. No, oh my gosh, yeah.
It's very, I mean, I printed out the whole thing, and who knows what's redacted. I mean, it is online, so I mean, it's tough to know how legit this is. But, I mean, they talk about methods of, like, shutting down the left side of the brain, which is that logical side, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And once they can shut that down with frequency, they can pump things into your right side of the brain. And if people can override this, it is it's a way that people can like astral project and do all kinds of wild shit. You can basically manifest anything that you want. I mean, it kind of gets into like the whole Ed Lead Scanlon thing where he talks about everything's a magnet. And if you can reverse the polarity, this is when you start talking about like levitation and kind of like breaking those quote unquote rules of physics. And teaming up with that, you have right. you have this idea too of PAIR, the Princeton Anomalous Research. I forget what the E is. I think Princeton Engineering Anomalous Research. That is a wild thing too. This is where Princeton actually was talking and doing experiments on people doing like telekinesis and bending spoons with their minds and shit.
Yuri Geller and this like the Stargate stuff. Yeah. They were working on anomalous cognition was one of the euphemisms they called it. Anomalous cognition.
Yes.
Which in other words means seeing, hearing, and interacting with things that are not physically present, you know? Yeah. And you know, I think there is something to that. And again, like I said, I believe that a lot of what was considered magic, there is something to it, but it's hard to quantify. And so that's where you get blind spots in science, where some stuff, that's ridiculous. We did the test. Yeah, but like part of like with psi and things, I believe that belief is a strong part of it. And that if you have people who don't believe you surrounding you and staring daggers at you, that in some cases that you know, like, you know, and once again, that's, you know, this is completely supposition. But yeah, I think that there are some things that can't be quantified, but maybe so. And but yeah, we definitely did a lot of research on that kind of stuff. You know, the Stargate stuff is also connected to the ENIAD, which, by the way, Gene Roddenberry was part of that project. It's also connected to SRI, who, by the way, with the whole Stargate thing, you know, they went to Egypt and did like stuff around the pyramids. Yeah, this wasn't just science, dude. Come on, man. Why did you need to be in Giza, like on a full moon or whatever it was? You know, this wasn't just science. Then again, maybe, like I said, I don't know, you know, I don't know about the moon and all this. Maybe there is some weird technology behind some of this stuff, and they were genuinely researching it. But that's another reason why the whole, like, the satanic thing can sometimes be a red herring, because sometimes it's occultic. Sometimes it's satanic. Sometimes it's cultic. Other times it's completely secular, but uses what would be, like, to the naked eye appears occulted, because like I said, that stuff, like they were, what are these voodoo practitioners doing? What are these holy rollers doing? You know, figuring out these different altered states and how to create them. Like there is something to that. There is something to, like, there is some way that, like, there's some things that voodoo practitioners have done that are hard to explain, you know, like how did that person climb up that tree without the use of their arm, you know, like weird stuff. Okay,
dude, had you heard, both of you guys, I'm real interested to see if you've heard or looked into Adolfo Constanzo, this narco Satanist.
Is this the Matacumbe cult? Metamoros cult. Uh-oh.
With the Apollo and all that weird black magic and shit.
See my view on that stuff, because like our media painted that as like, you know, oh, look at these crazy foreign, you know, criminals, blah, blah, blah. But what do we know about the cartels? We know they're basically fucking, the Mexican arm of the CIA, you know? So right. I feel like this stuff, you know, while the media admits that they do this type of black magic at that level, because, you know, oh, they're criminals. But those people literally work with our intelligence offices, you know? Yeah. I'm sure that the rituals and stuff that they do are no different than fucking, you know, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, fucking Jared Kushner, whatever do, you know? Well, I just feel like through our eyes, we just feel like, oh, that's dirty and foreign. That's, you know, ridiculous. But, yeah.
I mean, Bill Clinton was known to communicate with Aristide, right, out of Haiti. And I mean, they were practicing voodoo. Supposedly there's a commercial of Bill Clinton, a voodoo commercial. I don't know if you guys had happened to see that. I'll show it here to you guys if you haven't seen it. It's like a band commercial, and supposedly he was wearing the same underwear for a week leading up to his 92 election. I guess he ended up getting like taken over. He's now like the subservient of Aristide, and I don't even know if Aristide's even alive now. But he talks about Hillary Clinton is a necromancer and communicates with Eleanor Roosevelt still to this day. And just, I mean, they say this flat out. And to your point, James, I don't think at all that the practices of like Nigerian politicians or Kenyan politicians or Cuba, which is where this Palo comes from, that Constanza was practicing. I don't think that any of the stuff that these people do in the Western government, right, United States, the Five Eyes, right? I don't think that anything that they do is different from these guys, man, because, yeah, it's all the same power structure at the top. But what's interesting to me, especially about Adolfo Constanza's thing, is these, you know, he's connected with Mexican branches of Interpol, right? Like the highest level of the Mexican law enforcement. He's friends with this dude. He's friends with, I forget the family name. I just did a quick episode on it. Basically the biggest crime family in Mexico. He's friends with both these guys. He's sacrificing lion cubs, zebras, boa constrictors, all these different things in order to bless this narcotics shipment, right? So they're blessing this. And meanwhile, he's telling his friends in the federal government, hey, look the other way this day. I'm going to give you, this guy's giving me $40,000. I'll throw you $10,000. But that doesn't mean that these people aren't doing some horrible shit. Because once, even when he killed this family, this dude, like, he killed them violently. They ripped the spinal cords out of these people. They ripped their brains out, their hearts, and they put them in their cauldron. It's like a nangin or something, where they put 28 sticks in a cauldron. They put brain, they put like all the stuff that of human remains. And it supposedly feeds this spirit. And these people practice this shit, man. So if this high level, as you say, James, this asset of the CIA, which I'm not disagreeing with you, in Mexico is doing this, are they doing it for fun, or are they doing it because it has some sort of real world effect? Is there a ripple effect from this kind of dark energy?
I think, I mean, people at that level of power aren't going to waste their time doing something that doesn't have effect. You know, millionaires sure. don't do astrology, but billionaires sure seem to, you know,
JP Morgan.
Oh yeah. Fucking Bloomberg got a Temple of Mithras statue traveled all the way.
Oh, nice.
Can't forget where it was, but yeah, brought an original Temple of Mithras statue and has it in the bottom of the basement of the Bloomberg Tower. Like why would you do that? You know, but yeah, no, I think that's why we're pushed so much into materialism. And I think that's why so much of the religion that we have access to is, you know, like these shitty TV preachers or, you know, the rapist fucking Catholic priest. You know, we have all of these toxic ones that they put out there. Mm-hmm. So that way people are like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's not for me. This is clearly bad. But, you know,
which makes the job so much easier for the Lucian Greaves and the, and remember the internet skeptics from the 2000s, 2010s, with the door tipping atheists?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it makes like Joel Osteen and, you know, whether it's the Southern Baptists or the Mormons or the Catholics or whoever has got their child rape scandal in this week. You know, those people don't even just hurt their own religion or denomination. They hurt religion.
Yeah.
Because like the people who hate religion, they don't care which religion is doing something. They'll point it out. Look, and that, and that, and that, and that. So all these people of all religions who are hypocrites or using religion for politics or power or, you know, their own, you know, dirty, disgusting desires, those people are hurting all religion. Mm. And that's why I think it's important that people who are religious, you need to call that stuff out, okay? Like, you've got to. You've got to make sure that people realize that's not all of us, you know, because that's what a lot of people hate religion and religious people because of that. Like, I remember once, you know, with a friend that I'd recently met, we're hanging out, we're having dinner at his house. We have a couple of beers. We smoke some bud. And then we're talking, and I don't remember even what brought it up. And that's it, blah, 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 blah. And I bring up Jesus and or that I'm a Christian or whatever. And he's like, hey, what? You're a Christian? And at first I'm like, oh, no, it's because I'm drinking and smoking. And I was like, yeah, why do you ask? He's like, because you're not judgmental. All the Christians I've met are really judgy. And I'm like, great, awesome. Okay, so check it out. The whole thing Jesus was here to do was be like, hey, you guys, you hypocrites, stop acting like you're better than everybody else. Like, look at Jesus. How many times does he yell at someone or get angry?
Flip tables on.
A few times. How many times does he do that to a non-religious person? Wait a minute. No. It turns out the tax collector and the prostitute and the thieves, he's really kind to them. He'll sit and, you know, share his bottle of wine with any of the sinners. You know, he's right there at the tavern like, hey, tell me about your troubles, buddy. You know, it's the religious people going, we're better than everyone. And you're a terrible person. And you're ruining the way we do things. And he's like, you know, I just talked to God. He's my dad, by the way. And he was telling me, you guys are full of it. And you're what's wrong with religion. And guess what? Those same Pharisees, the Sadducees were a different sect, but like they wanted to use religion as a form of networking, which, by the way, you see the fundamental evangelists and the we don't really believe in Christianity, but it's a good way to network for business. Those same two types still dominate many churches to this day. Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Have you put much thought into the Vatican being like an Atonist group, like the ones that worship like Akhenaten?
Okay. I try to be very careful here with the Latter-day Saints and with the Catholic Church. Okay. I believe that at the top levels of the Vatican and at the top levels or portions of the top levels of the LDS, there is a mystery religion. And in the case of the Vatican, it's very obvious that they stole some Babylonian, Sumerian, and Egyptian. Where'd you get that hat?
Yeah.
Why does it look like the priest of Dagon, the Philistinian deity? Like, what does that have to do with Jesus? Yeah. All this stuff. And it's like that, you know, you're doing something there, guys. And I see it, you know, that being said, I would never like, you know, like Jack Chick was really mean to Catholics in his Chick Tracks. Like, oh, you're all in a cult. You're going to hell. No. Like, if you follow the words in red and ask for forgiveness, you're safe. That's how I believe. That's what I believe, you know?
Okay.
And I don't care. I don't care if you're a Seventh-day Adventist or an LDS or a branch friggin' Davidian, you know? If you follow the words in red and ask for forgiveness, you are saved. That's the rules. It's really simple, folks. As far as the whole, I do believe, like the LDS, by the way, there's a ridiculous amount of connections to Freemasonry.
Yeah, there
and,
is. Yeah.
Like the stuff that you don't learn until you get into the temple, right down to the handshakes, it's very obvious, you know? And there are even like academics, both Freemasons and LDS historians who have written on this. This isn't conspiracy theory stuff. This is in the journals, you know? Also, just speaking of the LDS, I find it very interesting. Back in the late 90s, when I was a very different person and the counterculture is going to save the world. And I was really into transhumanism. Whoa, it's going to be so cool when we like are made of computers. Not so sure about that now. Yeah. But I was a member of the World Transhumanist Yahoo group. And like Eliezer Yudkowsky and Nick Bostrom, and all these guys are posting in this group. And I'm getting, you know, the messages. Like, this is like 1998, 1999. It turns out that group rebranded years ago, like late 2000s or sometime in the early 2010s. They're now Humanity Plus, also known as H Plus, and there's a lot of LDS members, which wow. I just found like wow, you know, yeah. So
what was this group that you mentioned and that Nick Bostrom was a part of? You said
the it was the World Transhumanist Association at the time, and Nick Bostrom, of course, is the simulation theory guy. Yeah. Eliezer Yudkowsky was working on the singularity and oh yeah, wow. yeah. I mean, like, in between Robert Anton Wilson and Serial Experiment Lane, I'd already read Burroughs, you know, I'd already read Burroughs. And so
you're talking about like The Specimen.
What's that?
Are you talking about from Burroughs, the book called The Specimen, or which one had you read, or just a lot of his work?
Yeah. Not even just his work, but like especially a lot of his talks and things, where he gets into a lot of the weird, like fringe, paranormal and pseudoscience type stuff. Some of which I don't even know if he really believed, because I think he was sort of a troll sometimes too. And but yeah, no. By the way, I've been collecting some of the Burroughs files too, as well. So that'll be something I can't wait to have the time to look through.
That'll be a blast to learn about him more, because I'm reading this mm-hmm. book right now called The Specimen, and I'm sure that you've heard of it. It's from him, if we're thinking of the same Burroughs. I would assume so, because it seems, I don't know, have you read that book?
No.
So it's basically saying that like Jesus was a test tube baby, and like he came from aliens, and this is why he had some supernatural powers and shit like that. I don't believe it, because I lean towards Christianity myself.
Right.
But I like to entertain these ideas and to look at them, right?
Yeah.
I think it's important. I mean, so this is one thing, like, I the reason that I lean towards Christianity, my audience knows. But, you know, it's because these one world religion pushers, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the elite, seem to be very anti-Jesus and very anti-Christian.
Oh, yeah.
And so that is, I reverse engineer it just in my head. It's a very basic way to think. But I'm like, okay, if these people that are fucking my life over as much as they possibly can don't like this guy and what he represents, I'm going to like something. This guy. Yeah, I'm going to follow this guy a little bit, right? Yeah, and I'm not hook, line, and sinker on Christianity, but I lean towards it big time. I still mm-hmm. consider myself agnostic. But man, is it compelling?
By the way, you were talking about like beliefs and things. Like that's one thing that I'm glad I picked up during my Robert Anton Wilson days. Like the idea of juggling different reality tunnels and belief systems. Like, you know, I think that can be valuable. And I think it's also good to, like, I look at things that I don't believe at all and then try to reverse engineer. Why do people believe this? Like, you know, people talk about the reptilians thing. Like, I sometimes, like, okay, listen, sociopaths rule the world, right? Yeah. By nature, the fact that they're ruthless. Sociopaths operate on the reptilian brain, the brainstem, which only cares about feeding, fighting, fucking, and survival, right? Mm-hmm. So, in a sense, on some metaphorical level, there are ancient reptilians, the ancient reptilian brain, who run the world.
That's pretty good. Okay. Okay. Well, so have you heard of, and hopefully my audience isn't tired of hearing about the Lucius Trust, but have you heard of the Lucius Trust?
The theosophy stuff is very, very interesting to me too. Yeah. Yeah. It started out as the Lucifer Trust Publishing Company by, was that Alice Bailey?
Alice and Foster Bailey. Yeah. They started off Lucifer Publishing
and they're the only ones with a chapel in the UN.
Yeah, they sure are.
The Lucifer people are the Lucifer people.
They're behind that meditation room, you know,
in the UN. Yeah. If you want to pray, it has to be in the Lucifer building or in the Lucifer room. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got that room there.
They changed it to Lucis, but it started out as like Lucifer publication or Lucifer Trust, and then I guess one day they were like, hey, you know, maybe we'd blend in more if we didn't make it sound like Satan Incorporated, you know.
Well, they wanted to work with the UN. They wanted to work. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Foster working with the UN, and then Alice being like this supposed medium for, like, you know, Kuthumi and Jules Kuhl and all these people that are, or entities, I should say. This high level spiritual organization. This is my big problem with spirituality. I think that it is pushed onto people because how many times do you hear people say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, right? These are people that are trying to rebel so far against religion that I think they're getting pushed right into the darkness. I think they're getting pushed into the hands of some entities that could potentially take over their soul or whatever we want to say. And the Lucius Trust, again, the spiritual leaders of the UN actually say that when their god that they call Maitreya, the fifth and final Buddha, once he comes back, he's going to bring with him all the spirits that have been guiding the world's elite, the educationers, all these people. So that makes me kind of, in a weird way, believe that this lizard people theory could actually be something because these psychos believe in it. Now, these people know some shit that we don't know, right? I mean, the people at the highest levels of society within the UN and the WEF and all this shit. Even though you're a very well-researched dude and James gets into his stuff and I get into my stuff, they will always know some things that we just don't know.
Unless
you're maybe like a high-level Mason and I didn't know that or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like you were saying in the joke about becoming a cardinal. Yeah, I mean, like, last I checked, I don't have keys to the Vatican basement, so I don't know a lot of things that there are to know. Someone knows these things.
Yes.
I would like to know some of those things that they hid away for hundreds of years and probably still have to hide away sometime. Do you guys remember the story? What was the Adam and Eve something? The book from like 1967?
The CIA?
The CIA. Yeah. Like, come on, man. Why would the CIA suppress the publication of a science fiction novel? No. Come on, man. It's a science fiction novel, so it's untrue. Then what are you hiding there, Mr. CIA? Come on.
On that note of with you saying like all those spirits will be unveiled, I mean, like, for one, that rock in Japan that cracked, like, earlier this year, that was supposed to house an ancient demon.
Or the solar temple that was just uncovered in Egypt. Yeah, dude! Every week! Yeah. It's another one of those, like the opening of a horror movie, except it's a different place. Like, you know, the Exorcist opening scene, and they're like, oh, look, it's a statue of Pazuzu. Like, one of those moments every week now.
Yeah, there were these, like, five-legged, like, ancient, gigantic statues. Like, it was, like, five-legged human head, but, like, kind of a dog body. And they were all in Iraq. It was one of the first things that ISIS destroyed. There's one remaining in a museum in Chicago, I think, but they were supposed to be created to fight off demons. So you have all of these things that it's, you know, it's like cranking up CERN, you know, destroying ancient artifacts that house demons. Like, it's like, why, if this stuff wasn't real, why would you go through that effort?
Yeah, let's not do that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So,
James, you said that these things were dog bodies with human heads. I'm going to try and look this up.
Yeah, there's a good video on Rumble by this alternative historian. Sorry, I'm on my phone running errands. You guys can see how hood my area is.
Well, no, I saw you in Walmart a second ago. That's nice. The Hoover Dam explosion seemed to be really swept under the rug. And then for whatever reason, Pelosi is in Taiwan, which, I mean, if all these things are true about China and Pelosi and Biden and all these other people, why the fuck is Pelosi in Taiwan? I mean, 700,000 people were watching her Air Force One plane, and she is using an Air Force One plane, by the way, fly over, you know, again, 700,000 people. This is the most tracked airline of all time. And why is she there in Taiwan? And, you know, there's tanks set up on the Chinese beach that's facing Taiwan right now. There's something fucking going on right now, and I don't know exactly what it is. I'm not trying to be like a fear porn pusher, but there is some big deal going on, I think, before these midterms in the United States, right? There's something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you guys have any ideas, but maybe some sort of martial law or something.
Yeah. fuck, man.
I hate to be fear porny. I don't know, but
it and fucking, I mean, man, just the way that with droughts are and all the different ways they're shutting down farmers. Every day I see a new story, like, and it's funny, I have a top badge on my Facebook, like commenter for this bullshit local news station here, just because every post I just comment on, it's like, oh, spreading fear porn. But now the FDA is going to crack down on salmonella. Apparently one in 25 chickens have salmonella. And it's like, oh, okay, let me guess. You're going to have to throw away half our fucking food. You know, like just being diagnosing this,
James, they're diagnosing it with a PCR test. And that's exactly the same way that they're doing it with the monkeypox. So
and shingles is a common side effect of the shot. Yeah. And monkeypox is basically fucking shingles, you know.
Well, that ties
all
in
of this
with
stuff
the whole,
is so thin.
It ties in with the Bored Ape shit, dude. The monkeypox,
oh,
right?
Shit.
I mean, that's like another thing. They were
pushing... and then the fucking monkeys that in they were doing, gosh, what some kind of research on that truck full of monkeys. One got out and bit the lady. Yeah, that's definitely like a meme this year.
Well, like, and then also Kanye West, his only single that he's released this year. The cover of that single is it's with The Game. I think it's
the game. Yeah,
it was a monkey that had its face was cut off. Right,
looked like super gruesome, like just a skinned monkey. Even as a metal musician, like that's not something I'd use. So for a pop artist to use that, you know, like it was just like, oh, they're really doing some fucking sigil magic right here, you know.
Well, I've seen your guys' art too. It's got like an asshole just gaped open on the t-shirt. So yeah, no, I mean, if it's too much for you guys, that is definitely too much for most people. And yeah, I mean, Kanye is arguably the biggest musician alive right now. I mean, I don't know how you really quantify that. Timber, I don't know who could rival that.
I mean, probably. And it, like, as far as like actual creative output, you know,
influence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It is there is definitely some dark stuff going on, and just how it all ties together is beyond us, I think, but it's fun to try and speculate for sure. It looks like you're looking up something there, Philip. What do you got?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just got sent something. Speaking of the Satanic Panic or the Satanic Temple, they are trying to sue more people. Yeah.
Who are they suing?
A TikToker. Well, to be fair, now listen, guys, let's hear the Satanic Temple out. This okay. Lady, come on. I mean, I don't know what she was thinking. She pointed out that Lucian Greaves used to be friends with Milo Yiannopoulos, which, by the way, he also refused to do a speech around the time of Charlottesville. You remember Augustus Saul Invictus? He was running for office in Florida. He spoke at Charlottesville. He was a literal occultist fascist. Like, and by the way, I don't get why like groups like Adam Waffen, Order of Nine Angles, and the Base, and these literal satanic neo-Nazis never make the news. We focus on, you know, feds like the Proud Boys instead of feds like Adam Waffen. I mean,
you
they're
think
both
Adam
feds,
Waffen are feds?
Yes. Oh, they definitely have ties. You remember that there was a bookstore recently? By the way, that like in the Order of Nine Angles guy, by the way, has a connection to a Gladio group. There are, you know, definitely enough in dangling alliances, we could put it, to connect O9A and some of these and Adam Waffen to, like, you know, at least suspect that there is some sort of federal ties. And in some cases, like the bookstore owner, who, like, the feds gave him over $100,000 to run a, you know, basically selling like esoteric Hitlerist texts and things like that. But yeah, no, the Satanic Temple threatened a lawsuit in part for the TikToker referencing the long ago friendship of TST leader Greg Stephen and that's the other one I was thinking of, is Kevin Sollings, Greg Stevens, and Lucian Greaves, aka Douglas Masico. Greg Stevens and neo-Nazi launderer Milo Yiannopoulos. By long ago, they of course met at least 2016, and it shows a picture of them together in 2016. Which, by the way, Kevin Sallings is also against school integration.
Who's
just
Kevin
like Joe
Sallings?
Biden, another one of the founders of the Satanic Temple. Like Those Joe Biden, guys, okay. I guess he doesn't want his kids to grow up in a racial jungle. That's our president. People are like, we got to get rid of this racist president. Let's get the guy who said gays shouldn't be allowed to serve in politics in like the 1990s. We're not talking about the 1990s. It was like the 1990s, and they asked him, and he's like, I don't think they should be able to have ranking positions. No. Like, this is in the 90s, man.
Well, and look at his cabinet now. Half of them are either gay or trans or whatever.
Well,
man,
he's got to make it look like he wasn't racist. Like, he was a segregationist, like, as of, like, remember just like 8 years ago. Remember him running for president and saying, you know, bragging about how, oh, yeah, no, we'll get along in the South. Delaware was a slave state. He's like, this is the same guy. Delaware was a slave state. This is how he's selling himself, you know? And now he's like, and if you don't like people who like slavery and segregation, you ain't black.
Yeah.
Mr. Biden,
man,
I'm aware that you're experiencing cognitive difficulties, but
my question,
do you guys think that he is an actual person at this point?
Oh man, there's the footage of him being like very two different people.
Some of the videos where
no blinking. Yeah. He's like, sitting here just talking.
I don't think it's a robot. I don't think it's a clone. It's like modafinil, or they've got him on a series of drugs that they give to people with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. And in fact, they're giving him the stuff that civilians don't get. The stuff that like that only the military and our 88-year-old Congress. Oh, my God. Speaking of which, by the way, another tangent. But did you see that speech Pelosi was given like the other day? And I was just listening and I'm like, you're the Speaker of the House and you cannot even speak English.
What was she talking about?
You'd have no idea. Yeah, no, it was impossible. You've got to look it up. Honestly,
you can read the transcript and you still won't know. Yeah. If you guys could find that, I wish I could find it off the top of my head, but oh my gosh. It's like, I remember like as far back as 2015, I remember both Pelosi and McCain. I saw a sudden and swift decline around the same time, around 2015. You remember when Nancy Pelosi kept calling Trump Bush? And, you know, we've got to do something about Bush and or Trump, you know. But, like, it's really sad and scary to say that Jill Biden's not any better, you know. Mexican Americans are a lot like tacos. It's like, dude,
is this
are you
it?
For real?
It's from August 20th.
No, no, no. This would be like in the last week.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm going to look up on DuckDuckGo. Like, I just maybe like Pelosi word salad speech.
Okay.
Because I'm one of those things either. That, yeah, like it was not really covered by the media because it's one of those things that was like, you know, holy shit.
Is this it? No, it's 2020 again. Yeah, man, I'm not seeing anything too. I mean, obviously, they're going to try and suppress it pretty well if it's bad.
It's kind of surprising neither of us have found it yet. Let me.
While you're
looking, I know.
While you're looking, I'm going to bring this up. Can you see this here? This white magic versus black magic? Because You're talking about how Biden, because I was going to ask you, do you think trolling kind of rules the world? Do you think that people that are at the highest of society just troll constantly? Because why would
I think trolling is a good term to use, like even if it's not an exact term. I think like, you know, something I've said for years, like, OK, did you see where Trump, like he was going, he said he announced he was going to endorse one of the candidates in, I can't even remember the state off the top of my head, and both of them are named Eric, right?
Okay.
And I saw like tweets of people, dude, he should just say, I endorse Eric. And he did. And so they both like bragged about how I'm so glad that Trump endorsed me. I am the true MAGA candidate. My other candidate is a rhino. They both of them, this like almost identical, talking about how I'm glad Trump endorsed me. That other guy was nothing like me. I'm the MAGA guy. And it's like, dude, that is some high caliber trolling. Okay. I don't support a lot of what Trump did, but as a troll, he was Andy Warhol. He was, dude. Okay. Here's Andy Kaufman. Here's Donald Trump. Here's Andy Warhol. When it comes to like world class, like change the world through trolling trolls, that's going to be like, I might be missing some people, but like those are three that I definitely believe are like, you know, just take the cake. And yes, like the Keck thing, like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, yeah. And by the way, the Keck thing, I'm pretty sure is tied to Discordianism. I can't quite prove that, but there's way too much. About the whole Keck and chaos thing.
Well, it's World of Warcraft.
Of Discordianism.
It's World of Warcraft. Oh, yeah. Right? And then it's the Korean version of LOL. And I mean, something you just said right there, I hate to beat a dead horse, but tying back to the black magic, I'm the real MAGA candidate, right? MAGA means witch.
Magic.
It's witch.
Right.
No, I think it's Latin.
It started out like in the early 2000s with like, oh, look at the hand signs that they're doing, you know, but it's like progressively becoming more and more blatant. Like, I think we're being subjected to, it may not be all one group, like they may be battling and whatnot, but the elites are subjecting us to increasing amounts of, you know, magic, like the whole Trump campaign, all that stuff he does. Hand symbols all the time. Some of the ways that he repeats phrases, and I mean, just MAGA over and over. All of these things, super occulted, you know. And I feel like just at every level, you know, it may not be all one force subjecting us to it, but I feel like the barrier between like just tangible reality and like the supernatural is becoming thinner and thinner, you know. But also, I found that.
You know what to do, guys, if you want to hear the rest of the conversation between me and mostly Phil, because James does bail out a little after this point. Phil and I continue talking about Kai the Hitchhiker and a few other very interesting things. Awesome work from both these guys, man. Support all three of us. I told you where to find them. You can find me at patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast, guys. We all appreciate the support.